Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Eveready Industries India Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Muskan. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Eveready Industries India Limited Quarter 1 FY26 earnings conference call. Today, we are joined by senior members of the management team, including Mr. Ruhumai Saha, Managing Director, Mr. Anirvan Banerjee, CEO, Mr. Vivek Agarwala, Executive Director and Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Anirban Ghosh, GM Finance and Head of Investor Relations. Before we commence, let me share a standard disclaimer. Some of the statements that are made on today's call could be forward-looking in nature, and actual results could vary from these forward-looking statements. A detailed communication in this regard is available in the earnings presentation that has been circulated to you earlier and which is also available on the stock exchange website. I would like to invite Mr. Saha to share his perspectives with you. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Siddharth. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this earnings call for the first quarter of the current financial year. We have already circulated a detailed presentation on the company's performance during the quarter, and I hope you found the information useful. So I will highlight only the key points. First, I would like to quickly touch upon the operating environment that we experienced during the period under review. Consumer demand held on, with urban consumption steady. Inflation was moderate. However, discretionary purchasing remained subdued. Rural demand showed a slow recovery. Zinc prices stayed range-bound during the quarter given the tariff concerns and sluggish demand globally. We continue to exercise cautious hedging strategy to protect our profitability. We are now in the process of leveraging the advantages from a robust distribution system that got completed last year for our general trade channel. The rapid rise of quick commerce and continuing importance of e-commerce has meant that we anticipate trends faster, replenish with greater efficiency, and continue to innovate on products to retain and improve share. Spends on A&P stood at 3.8%, and campaigns were rolled out across media. Our revamped lineup in Alkaline is registering strong trends, with market share during the quarter coming in at 15.3%. Positive impact was also seen in the carbon zinc category, translating into a dominant 59.1% share. In flashlights, we made a number of new launches as we reclaim momentum in the rechargeable segment. Let me now provide a quick segmental update. Batteries. Carbon zinc has shown growth in both volume and value, supported by our extensive distribution network and brand equity. The category has seen moderate price increases in certain SKUs. We took long strides with our Alkaline portfolio, drawing a growth of 50 basis points in market share quarter on quarter to 15.3%, as mentioned earlier. This was driven by performance-led positioning and amplified by advertising campaigns across multiple platforms. The category continues to outperform on both volume and value. In this quarter, revenue growth achieved was in excess of 50% year-on-year, with similar growth in volumes. We held our market share steady in the overall consumer batteries market. The development of our greenfield facility at Jammu continues to be on target and will strengthen competitiveness as we seek to grow our share aggressively. Given the trends in zinc prices, we have maintained gross margins at a comfortable range through a combination of cost efficiencies and product mix. Flashlights. The segment has shown double-digit growth, led by our lineup in rechargeable flashlights, where growth is 39% year-on-year. Rechargeables have also seen better traction in modern trade and institutional channels. We expect that the BIS certification will drive consolidation in favor of brands like ours. Battery-operated flashlights stayed marginally negative on volumes and value terms. The flashlight business continues to track premiumization in consumer preference and remains well-placed to respond with feature-rich models. Our distribution capability strength across Tier 2, Tier 3, and rural markets remain a strength. Lighting. LED lighting has navigated a challenging environment marked by continuing price erosion, which tends to mute value growth despite robust volume expansion. Across SKUs, including emergency lamps, luminaires, battens, panels, all have shown volume growth. Professional lighting also had healthy growth as we continue to build relationships with target clients. The distribution strategy for lighting has evolved with a refreshed and better aligned network of around 250 active distributors. We continue to add adjacent products, with this quarter seeing introduction of MCBs. Let me move to the financial comments. Revenue during the quarter have shown growth in all categories except lighting remaining flat. The quarter ended with an overall revenue growth of 7%, contributed by strong trends in batteries and flashlights. We continue to deliver a strong EBITDA profile at 14.3%, thus aligning well with our intent. I would like to now draw your attention to two notes in our published accounts. First, the company has entered into a settlement agreement with RealTouch Finance Limited to bring closure to the arbitration proceedings related to certain claims. As discussed in our earlier calls, this dispute arose from borrowings taken by other entities under a facility agreement to which our company was neither a party nor a signatory nor a beneficiary. However, we became entangled in arbitration from 2019 under the doctrine of the group of companies. Under the terms of settlement, the company paid rupees 15 crores to RealTouch and assigned its receivables from the concerned entities carried in our books at nil value, along with associated rights and guarantees. In return, all claims against the company will stand withdrawn. With this settlement, the earlier restrictions on asset disposal or capital restructuring imposed on the company will be lifted upon completion of the required formalities. Second, an exceptional charge of rupees 7.07 crores was incurred towards non-recurring ex gratia payments to workmen as part of a separation exercise. This step was taken to enhance our long-term cost efficiency. As for the outlook, we remain keen on delivering profitable growth across each of our segments and delivering a completed greenfield facility on time. Finally, I would say that Everity is armed with core strengths that are invaluable in the consumer products arena, setting the stage for business momentum. With that, I would like to invite queries from the participants and request the moderator to open the forum.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Arnav Sakhuja from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Taking my question. So my first question is, could you please help us with the segment-wise margins?
Okay, take it. So, and you have the next question, please.
Yeah, sure. So, this quarter we had relatively high other income of 2.4 crores. So what led to this?
Okay. Okay, so let me address your, you know, segment-wise margin. Battery is around 19%, flashlight 13%, and the lighting remains flat almost. And the 2.4 crore other income having some refund of some custom refund and some tenancy surrendering. We have done some long-term tenancy we had, so that is a surrendering compensation we got.
So going forward, we can't assume this would be the run rate. This would be more of a one-off situation, right?
Yeah, this 2.4 is definitely a one-off, one-time exceptional income, yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you for answering my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhargav from Ambit Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon team and congratulations.
Sir, I just request you to speak a little louder, please.
Am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So first of all, congratulations on a strong performance. My first question is that we had some embargo on fund infusion on account of this KKR thing. So is it fair to say that post this sort of favorable decision or soon to be made, the embargo will be lifted and that could actually augur well for Eveready?
So as I covered it in my earlier remarks, with this settlement, the earlier restrictions, the embargoes were like this. There was restrictions on asset disposal or capital restructuring. So these embargoes would get lifted as soon as the formalities are completed in due course.
Okay. Secondly, sir, if you look at your rechargeable flashlight revenue growth of about 37%, it has been fairly impressive after a very long time. Now that the BIS has been implemented and we are doing a fair amount of new product launches, is it fair to say that we can grow in this segment in double digits for a medium term or maybe 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment that, you know, the outlook would be double digit in the, at least in the medium term. And as far as the, you know, the entire BIS implementation is concerned, so the first phase in 6 months of organizations about, the large organizations have come under it. But as far as the small ones are concerned, 50 crores and below in terms of turnover, they have an embargo to be BIS enabled by the end of the year. So it is only after January that we will see if there is a movement where, you know, some of our more competitive torches become even more aggressive. But that being said, I think medium term double digit recharge is a yes.
Great. And sir, my last question is that the alkaline battery manufacturing plant is supposed to get commercialized maybe by the year end. But before that happening, we've been gaining steady market share from 9.6% in June 24 to now 15.3%. So what is driving? Because obviously we are yet to enjoy any cost advantages from the factory, but despite that we've been gaining decent market share. Post the factory commissioning, obviously, will become more cost competitive and that could accelerate the market share gain. But if you can spend some time on the key drivers for this market share gain, it would be very helpful. And that would be my last question.
Yeah, that's a fair question. I think this entire movement towards drawing market share is also preludes the fact that there will be a, you know, factory by the end of the year, and thus by the time we hit, you know, the later part of the quarter four, etc., on that market share, we will have the advantage of local manufacturing. So our market share gains are also being pivoted, one, by the fact that there is a significant amount of segment growth in the alkaline, and within the entire battery segment, given that in zinc carbon we sell 6,000 batteries in India and have distribution which is close to 4.5 million outlets where our batteries are present, our ability to push the alkaline segment, given the strength of our distribution, and and if you would look at over the last 2 years, we've also been creating sufficient awareness for our alkaline battery, which is better known as Ultima. So the combination of a mature distribution and a solid brand promise, both of them together have pivoted us to this kind of a market share, which is, we believe to be a good going, given that in 18 months we would have picked up, 15% share. And thus, by the time our local manufacturing comes into play, I think that share quantum will be very helpful in translating into margins. Hope that answers your question.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Apoor from Whitestone Financial Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my question is, currently we are into battery, flashlight, lighting, and then mosquito racket wires, LCDs, right? So do we have plans to enter any new segment in next 2-3 years?
So this is a continuing job of management to explore newer avenues for growth. Earlier we have articulated that our existing categories already offer us quite significant growth opportunities, and that is something that we need to really first leverage before we look into completely new categories. We are routinely adding on adjacent products, but in terms of getting into a new category altogether, it is at the back of our mind, but nothing has been settled yet. And as I said, we would like to first exploit the growth opportunities existing within batteries, particularly in the alkaline segment, flashlights, particularly in the rechargeable segment, and the entire vertical of lighting. I hope that answers your question.
Sure, sir. Then my next question is, how much percentage of revenue can we expect in wires and MCBs in next 2-3 years?
So you were specifically asking about wires and MCBs, right?
Yes.
So specifically, we've just started the journey on the MCB and the wire, actually MCB. And this year itself, it is a highly competitive market as well, right? And thus, this year is some amount of observation in terms of the attractions that we get, right? So I am not immediately going to be pegging a number yet, given that we haven't done a full quarter of the MCB or the wire. Now that being said, right, our overall new products, and by new products definitions, I mean products that have been completely new or refurbished in the last 36 months, right? Now that typically would account for close to 15% of the revenues of the organization as we close the first quarter of the new financial year. Hope that gives you some sense in the direction of where we are taking with some of the new products.
Yeah, sure, sir. So my last question is on the like among all these categories, right? I just want to clarify one thing that only batteries we manufacture, right? And the rest of the things we do trading. Is my understanding right?
No, that understanding is not right. We of course manufacture the entire range of batteries. We also manufacture flashlights. We outsource lighting products. One of the outsourcing partners is an exclusive vendor to us. So it is primarily an extension of ourselves. But beyond that vendor, we also have other outsourcing partners who are not exclusive to us.
Got it. And in MCBs and wires, it's right now, as of today, it's outsourced or maybe...
These are outsourced. You know, there are, you know, as Anirban, my colleague, was mentioning, we have a host of NPDs which have come in over the last few months, or maybe, you know, a little more than that. And so this whole basket of new products is something that we by and large outsource, be it a mosquito racket, be it MCBs, other accessories. So these products are outsourced, but they are as per our design.
Okay, and also one more question on the demo plant. In the last con call, you mentioned that the alkaline batteries would be not only for B2C but would be for OEMs and B2B as well from the Jammu plant. So what do we mean by OEMs? Is it auto OEMs or something else?
So these alkaline, the batteries have multiple usages. You know, so from high drain devices, whether they are medical devices, gaming consoles, you know, toothbrushes, electric toothbrushes, and various other kind of hydrogen devices, they are manufactured under various brands by many kind of people, many kind of private sector companies. So anyone looking to sell those hydrogen devices will potentially watch out and want to combine them with alkaline batteries. So our local manufacturing does provide a great opportunity to, you know, provide our alkaline batteries to some of these manufacturers. It also provides us an opportunity of doing white labeling for some of the other, users of alkaline batteries for their various kinds of devices and consumptions. The local manufacturing plant also proves to offer, you know, white labeling opportunities for alkaline for outside the country as well, right? So there are, as you rightly said, other than the domestic consumption of our alkaline within our brand, there is a host of other possibilities which is in the OEM sector.
Okay. And so just one last question. As we are seeing the robust growth in alkaline batteries, right? So is it that market is shifting from carbon zinc batteries to alkaline batteries, or both the markets are growing simultaneously?
So there is and there will be some amount of cannibalization as, you know, one chemistry, grows faster than the other chemistry. It's also to do with the fact that, you know, your carbon zinc in India is 9 out of the 10 people are still buying carbon zinc, and 1 out of the 10 is buying alkaline. And many other parts of the world, alkaline has moved and become a more dominant shift. Now, some of these is also to do with the stage in which the country is. When countries evolve and you have a deeper penetration of some of the high drain devices, as I mentioned earlier, smart reports, medical devices, gaming consoles, optical mouses, etc., then you require stronger batteries such as alkaline. And as penetration of that in India grows, you will have a demand for alkaline growing up. And at the moment, the alkaline far outpaces the growth in the zinc carbon. So yes, there is a you know, marginal cannibalization that is happening. But I think we will see how it pans out over the decade.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Srivastava from RBC Financial. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and great set of numbers. So I come back to my old question. Now that the settlement of the KKR debt is done, you know, there are two things which were restricted. One was capital restructuring and capital raising, and other was sale of real assets. Now, have we as the management put in any thought or plan in terms of rationalizing, selling assets? Because I remember we sold Hyderabad, where, you know, many years back. And my personal assessment with Noida property in Mumbai, Bombay and other parts, there is property worth about 1,000 crores or maybe 600 to 1,000 crores in Everady. Now, that's a very material amount. Do you have any plans? Will they fructify? Because now it's purely procedural. Once you have settled with the arbitration, you need to go to the High Court and settle this. So, and how many, is there a decision happening? How much time will it take? What kind of numbers or what kind of capital receipts after paying long-term capital gains are we expecting in the company in the next 3 months, 6 months? That's my first question.
So, should we respond to that first?
Yes, yes, please. Mr. Sahar, thank you so much.
Okay, Mr. So, Vikas ji, you know, this settlement happened just, what,
one week back.
So it is still a little raw, you know, it has to sink in because, you know, the first attempt was obviously to, you know, it was a commercial thing that we needed to get out of this embargo, which we have done. So as we internalize this, you know, sort of, you know, get settled down to this, then will be the next question of, you know, what to do next, you know, in terms of, but, you know, respectfully, you know, I think the figure is grossly overstated. But thank you for that, that you hold our valuation
so high. No, Mr. Sahar, if it is wrong, it is wrong. But I'm assuming there would be some parallel discussions and thought process while the arbitration is going on, onto what to do, what are the properties we have, you know. It's, you know,
Vikasji, I must tell you, the management's job primarily is to run the business in the best possible manner. Okay, we are in no financial crunch that, you know, it was such a big priority that, you know, was driving us to sort of, you know, plan when to sell, what to sell, etc. It is a fact that we have surplus assets, which in due course, obviously, I mean, nobody wants to sit with idle assets. So yeah, it would, you know, in due course of time, something would happen. But as I said, our prime focus was to bring our company into a sustainable, you know, business environment, which we have done. And now, you know, we were trying hard to get this settlement and it has happened. It will be, the next step would be, you know, maybe by end of, in another couple of quarters, there would be clarity on this. If not in the next quarter, it is very difficult to say. But thank you for raising that question.
No, thank you, because it's important. Also, the debt is about 200 crores on the books. Other than the debt, is there a debt for the alkaline battery plant also? Other than about the 200 crores which we use for regular operations?
No. So this includes the debt for the alkaline plant also. The whatever debts in the books, it includes around 115 odd crores has been spent for the alkaline plant, and this is this part of the overall debt.
Okay. My next question was on the, you know, we talked about 1800 crores financial year 2027. Last call, you said it's still a possibility. I do know that the management and on the investors call, you know, we got a little bit of flack when our RTM didn't work, but that's the nature of the beast. Now, we are not getting, and I've been requesting this for the last many quarters, that how is it looking now? What is a 3-year goal? Is 1800 crores on financial year 27 still in the realm of possibility now?
Because, as we mentioned to you earlier also, you have really very diligently sort of, you know, being interested in us, and we thank you for that. Our plans on achieving a turnover of that size got a little bit of a setback when we tried to, you know, sort of restructure our distribution, because we met with challenges which you can say it is ignorance or whatever else you can call it. We did not foresee some of the challenges. As a result, as you know, last year was a flat year. But we knew that towards the end of the last year itself, we would start, you know, growing, and which we did. This quarter, we have grown at 7%. And, you know, I think this is just the start of the journey. So if we can maintain this pace, you know, maybe FY27 is still too soon, but I think in the next 3 years, the company should be in a position to get there. And that is the point that I was trying to drive at. The management is solely focused in making that happen rather than, you know, worrying about, you know, what idle assets. Of course, I mean, that will happen. I mean, you know, our CFO is sitting here. That certainly takes some part of his bandwidth thinking about, you know, how to restructure things. But, you know, operations-wise, management is now confident, having gone through all the challenges, we have sort of knit those, you know, in the appropriate manner. The hygiene of the business is very high at this point. So, again, you know, I'll just come to the point that I think in the next 3 years, it should be eminently possible. And thank you again.
Thank you. My last question was on the alkaline battery plant. I heard on the call a little earlier that we're talking about, when is the most realistic? Are we ahead of schedule? Are we behind schedule? When do you think we'll be in commercial production on the alkaline battery plant?
We should be in commercial production by March, as we said, end of this financial year, which is March. But internally, our target is to do it by January.
Okay. So we could advance that by about... have we decided now to not
Hello,
give
I'm
any
sorry to interrupt, sir.
Two-year, three-year projections now at all after, you know, for the shareholders, can we say that this is our goal 3 years from now? You know, Mr. Sahai, you did give us a goal earlier, and obviously, you know, this is equity and this is the nature
Hello,
of the business
Vikas.
That you went wrong. But can we not go back even, you know, to start giving some, because many companies are giving their roadmap 2, 3, 5 years, and I've been requesting for this for the last 2, 3 years. Has the management turned too conservative or worried just because we went wrong once? Or are we going to now lay out a roadmap in terms of numbers, organic numbers at least?
Vikasji, we are completely on board with your thought. I mean, management must, you know, think of the roadmap, and we will share to the extent it is permissible under the regulations.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Sahai, and I assume this is your last investors call. So thank you for all your patience. And where you have brought this company, hopefully, you know, for a stage where patient shareholders like me are on the verge of a takeoff now. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Vikasji.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipul Shah from Ripple Waves Equity. Please go ahead.
At the outset, sir, I thank Mr. Saha for ably guiding this company in, you know, the turbulent times you know, we were facing, both on the economic front and also on the route to market changes. Sir, I have only one question. There was a note to the account on some exceptional expenditure on 7.7 crores, I believe, on restructuring of or paying some ex gratia. Is it possible for the company to state at which location was this paid?
So, you know, as I covered, first of all, thank you for the personal comment. As I covered in my earlier comments, this exceptional charge of 7.07 crores was incurred towards non-recurring ex gratia payments to workmen as part of a separation exercise. and this step was taken to enhance our long-term cost efficiency. This was across locations. It was not specific to one, because this is a routine exercise that we had done in order to improve our efficiency.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side. And wish you,
Thank
wish the
you.
company,
Thank
all
you.
The best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vlad Alexandra from Artha India Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening. So firstly, could you please, please explain how exactly this case that was settled just now with Real Touch Finance, how exactly it was linked to the KKR matter that had been pending? If you could just provide some context there. And then about the settlement, can you explain, so the 15 crores that will be paid in cash, in which quarter will it be settled? And then the significance of transferring the loans which have a carrying value of nil, what exactly does that mean? So if Everity has written them off as nil and then they are transferred to Real Touch Finance, if Real Touch Finance were to recover any of the repayments on those loans, does Everity have any claim to any extent on those recovered payments or what exactly?
I have understood the gist of your questions. Let me answer.
Yes.
This Real Touch with whom we came to the settlement agreement is something we loosely refer to as the KKR matter, because Real Touch is one of, assignee of the original, loans provided by KKR to these entities. So it is the same topic that we are discussing. Real Touch is the kind of, what we loosely used to keep talking being the KKR matter. Now, as I mentioned in the remarks, that on account of the settlement, all claims against the company will stand withdrawn. Also, with this settlement, the earlier restrictions on asset disposal and capital restructuring imposed, the embargoes which were imposed on the company, will now be lifted once the due processes get completed. Now, when this will be taken into our accounts, you would see in the note we have mentioned that the final arbitral tribunal order is awaited. It is only after that award comes and the payment and other related adjustments, including tax implications, are fully reckoned, then we will be taking it into our accounts. However, we have also made a mention that we do not expect any additional charge from this settlement. As far as the receivables are concerned, these were written off way back 2021, and they were being carried at nil value. So we have assigned these receivables, as part of the settlement, and there is nothing that the company would get out of those receivables, because they stand aside once the process is completed.
Can you please tell me what exactly those loans and receivables were, from which parties were they that have been
transferred? So these were, as I said, that why did Everity get entangled in this arbitration or that case? Because of the application of doctrine of group companies. So, a company at that stage used to have certain entities as a group who had taken these loans, from KKR and now, through assignment, Real Touch. So, that is it. We have nothing to do with really that borrowing, because as I said, we were neither a signatory nor a beneficiary nor a party to that facility agreement. And you were mentioning about the receivables which have come to nil value in Everity's books since 2021, right? These were certain advances given by Everity, again, I think around the years of 17-18 to the so-called group entities, which were, you know, an assessment was made and full provision was taken, and it was thereafter being carried on at Neel Valley.
Okay. And
my next question is, so now that the restrictions have been lifted, so is there any kind of capital raise, like a rights issue or anything that you all are looking at in the near future? Because we looked at the cash balance of FY25. So it was just 2 lakhs on hand, and then there were around 48 lakhs in current account. So relatively the cash balance has been reducing. So are there any plans like a rights issue or something to raise?
But as I mentioned to an earlier speaker, the order, the settlement came just about a week back. We are now in the process of getting things regularized because, you know, we have to go to arbitral panel, they have to give an order, and then there is a due process which will take easily another 2-3 months. It is only after that, or you can say that, you know, you did not wait till the final, that we'll have to review, you know, what do we do with whether there is any requirement to raise capital. You know, this is still too raw. I mean, I think it is at a very premature stage for us to sort of venture any kind of, you know, comment on this.
Okay. And so just one more question about the layoff that had taken place. So you had said it was across all plants, not like any one in particular.
Yeah.
Could you tell us the...
We have 6 operating plants. So it was in more than one location where this exercise got taken, and you know, whatever was kind of found to be superfluous or redundant, that was taken out.
Okay, so can you provide a number, the number of employees that have been laid off? Would that be possible?
Roughly, I think, you know, roughly it is about 50 odd workmen.
50.
Yeah.
Okay, I think in yesterday's call, it had been mentioned that the Everspark subsidiary, it's under review whether it will be discontinued. So were any of the employees from this subsidiary, was it anything to do with that?
This subsidiary has no employees. It is just, you know, a company that was created at one point of time in order to facilitate imports from China.
Okay.
Currently, you know, our CFO would be reviewing whether this is required at all, and, you know, we'll keep you updated in due course of time.
Okay. So you had mentioned earlier, you said that these layoffs are a routine exercise that takes place. So now they've been classified as an exceptional item, but will they be recurring if it's a routine exercise, and then, you know, this amount of last year payout will be happening often? How exactly will it affect the employee cost?
This is really one-off and non-recurring. However, I mean, whether we would carry out a similar exercise if the scope presents itself is something that, you know, we need to take a call. But at this point of time, that exercise which we had done is complete. But, you know, it is a routine thing for all companies. They do, they keep reviewing from time to time if certain things can be avoided. And, you know, then naturally if certain things have to be avoided, there are separation costs involved.
Okay, so for this upcoming Jammu plant...
Sir, I just request you to follow back the queue.
Okay, sir, I'll join the queue.
Yeah, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your question to 2 questions per participant. Do you have a follow-up question? We request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Priyanka Sarkar from Square 64 Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
I hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good evening. Sir, just 3 questions I have. One is that, could you give us some details of the non-core assets which we have and what would be the approximate value? Because, I mean, one participant mentioned about 1,000 crores, and you said it's grossly exaggerated. So any broad number on that would be helpful, point one. Second question is, I understand that you're not planning to get into any newer categories right now. However, could you elaborate how you are thinking about it? Like, any broad parameters would be helpful. Are you trying to use the same distribution for the new category or anything of that sort? That was my second question. And the third would be any update on the CCI liability, which is still sitting on our contingent liability, rather. Any update on that?
The first question. That total asset bank.
Okay. So, Priyankar, happy to interact with you again. See, with regard to identification of non-core asset, we have not done any such exercise yet. We are sitting on some idle assets. Now, whether those idle assets will become non-core or not is something that we need to take a call on, depending on the business, you know, outlook. So to answer your question directly, we have not yet identified. You know, this is a matter of speculation, you know, whether we are having 1,000 crore of idle asset or... At this point of time, really, we cannot give any remark on that. So we leave it at that. And in due course of time, as and when the time comes right, we will obviously keep you updated. On the category selection, you know, you yourself have sort of given the leads. Brand and distribution will certainly play an effective role in identification of a new category as and when it comes. At this point of time, as I said, we have adequate growth opportunities in our existing business, which we haven't addressed yet, and we are addressing, and I think that will take the company to much higher levels of growth that has been seen in the recent past. With regard to CCI, the matter is status quo. It is still at NCLAT, awaiting the hearing process.
Right, sir. And thank you, Mr. Saha, for handholding the company over the last 3 years. So wishing you all the very best.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Priyankar.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Girish Kumar from Bellrock. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. So I have two questions. But the first question is, given the rising demand for battery energy storage system in India, is EverReady exploring any opportunity to participate in this space?
No, see, yes, battery management systems and battery storage systems, you know, are going to be something which are important from a future point of view. But at the moment, I will reiterate the fact that we have not yet saturated parts of our core, right? So we are working on trying to ensure that the distribution that we have and some of the core categories that we work upon, they amalgamate very well, and through, whether it is through new products in those cores, et cetera, right? So thus, the management focus currently is very stringently on the core. And yes, there will be a time, that, you know, where we will focus into some of these emerging thoughts that you rightly said, but for the moment, we are very much on the core.
Okay. And the second question is regarding, again, with the BESS, whether EverReady is manufacturing or planning to manufacture lithium cells?
So we are not planning to manufacture any lithium cell. The only ones that we are locally manufacturing are carbon zinc, and by the end of the year, we will be hopefully initiating the local manufacturing of alkaline. these are the two chemistries that we will manufacture locally and are mostly relevant for home consumption. Right. So lithium batteries currently are not, you know, very popular in home consumption.
Oh, okay, sir. Just one last question. This regarding a new facility coming up in Jammu region. So could you clarify the current stage of this project and its product line?
So the plant in Jammu will be mostly devoted towards, you know, potentially India's only alkaline manufacturing for home consumption. And it might have a few other of our cores as well, but it is the driving factor will be alkaline. As I said, it is in the project is in line with our plans, and as Mr. Sahai had earlier said, hopefully as planned, we will get started before the end of the financial year.
Okay, right. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Jain from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead. Yes, Mr. Yash, go with the question, please. Your voice is not audible.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Sorry. I had some issues. Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on the great set of results, sir. Just wanted to get an idea what other categories can we possibly get into going ahead with the recent launches this quarter. What other categories are we planning to get into?
So we are currently, you know, very true to our core. We believe that in our core categories of lighting and flashlight, other than batteries, of course, we have a long way to go in trying to leverage the distribution outlay coverage that we have for our batteries. Why doing that? I think any categories for the future will revolve around the essence of the brand and some of our distribution coverages. But that being said, currently all our core and new products are revolving around leveraging the core. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arnav B, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. My first question is, given, you know, the three categories or whatever NPIs that we have introduced, all put together, we are at a 7% kind of growth rate for last three quarters. Do you see it staying at this level or do you see it accelerating going forward? So that's the first question.
So no. So if you see that 7% isolation look maybe not a great number for you, if I understand. But if you see our journey over the last 9 quarters, you know, we initiated the route to market with a certain expectations and probably we have underestimated the challenge. And so we learned a lot of things and quickly recover for the growth. And last 3 quarters, we are consistently giving the growth. So if you see, even the second half of the last year is a growth momentum. So the full year, we turn out to a positive. Now, the first quarter, we have given a 7% growth. And we hope that this growth momentum will continue, and the heartening part is carbon zinc, which is core of our business. It is showing the sign of growth. And alkaline anyway going a superlative growth. You have seen that our presentation, a percentage is 50 plus percentage. So combining, we are looking forward all the three businesses, high single digit growth. As you know, the lighting industry per se facing a huge challenge of the value erosion. Despite we are continuously growing in the volume, but the value is getting eroded. So that is the main challenge. But isolation, if you add the lighting, battery and the flashlight, there will be a good amount of growth coming there. So we hope to continue the growth momentum ahead.
Okay, so probably saying high single digit is what we should factor in.
Yeah, positively we as a management aiming for that.
Got it. Thank you, sir. The second question is, do you see any scope of operating margin improvement or this is the steady state?
Very dynamic, I know. Always there is an ask for a more operating margin. And just to tell you know, in this volatile commodity market where the zinc is our core commodity and which has a very sharp increase in their pricing compared to the last year's same quarter. But still we have been able to hold the margin and that it will be improved. So our all focus to ensure cost leadership along with our revenue leadership.
Got it, sir. And the last question is, the new products which will eventually take out, bringing around 15-20% of the overall revenue, what I understand is in battery and flashlight business, you largely do cash business and not much of credit. I don't know if lighting offers you such, nice combination, but what is your take on the new products that you will initiate? Do you foresee higher capital requirement as you bring in those new adjacent products?
So as we said that the products are coming through the core adjacency and through the, our common distribution channel. So, you know, the channel, when you go to the channel, of course, our general trade channel, we are, we'll have a one set of credit terms and the alternate channel, which you talk about modern trade or the institution business, have other set of credit terms. But the kind of product which we are bringing, which are very highly consumer demanding product, and at this point of time, we don't see a much substantial investment from a working capital point of view on these new product launches.
Excellent. Thank you. That answers my question. And good luck for the next quarter.
Thank you. The last follow-up question is from the line of Sleda Alexandra from Artha India Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. So I just wanted to understand, going back to the ex gratia payment that had been made. So you said 7 crores and this was for 50 employees, right? So I just want to understand, this roughly comes to around 14 lakhs per employee. And these were factory workers, right? This is factory labor who got 14 lakhs each. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Correct. Average, mathematics says that.
Okay.
So what is your question?
Yeah, I just wanted that confirmed. So now if the new plant is being set up in Jammu, so will you all be rehiring for that or will internal employees be moved internally across plants? So like, what is the point of laying off these employees if you are going to rehire? So
As you know, workmen usually are not people who are amenable to transfers. Okay. These people whom we have separated, they were surplus to our requirements and the cost that we have incurred has a payback of 3-3.5 years. At Jammu, we will recruit fresh at costs which are, perhaps much more competitive and as per the requirement of the plant. But the transfer of workmen from, say Mysore to Jammu does not arise. Or for that matter, from Assam to Jammu. It is not practiced.
Got it, thanks. So just lastly, so now what exactly are the cost savings that you all will be expecting after this payout of 7 crores? How much will then be saved by having laid them off?
No, so as already mentioned, the payback is 3 to 4 years, right? So you can assume that per year, if you multiply that, that could be equivalent. 4 crore rupees could be the optimization on account of that, which heat I am getting in the entire heat is coming in the current year. The more than the cost saving is an efficiency and building the discipline in the plant location is also very important. Because otherwise, the productivity parameter, there are many other parameters beyond the only financial workman. So if you see the workmen are extra because product lines are not getting fully utilized, we have done a lot of automations. So we keep doing the separation of the people.
Okay, thank you. And just lastly, about the land that we have currently on the balance sheet. So it's around 60 crores, so 24 freehold land and 36 right of use. So can you just give a breakdown of the location and size-wise breakdown of the land parcels that are being held? Yeah, that was
just a moment, I think.
Because you have asked the question, sir, by...
This is a bunch of details, but let us try
to... Happy to share if you can find out readily available.
Sorry, so will it not be available right now? You will share it later?
No, hold on, we'll get it done. Hold on.
Okay.
So this 65 crore you are referring to, that land value, right?
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So most lands are, our lands are actually, you know, leasehold land. And so it is across all the location. If you see that, starting with our Kolkata head office, recently bought land at Jammu. This holder lies, then we have the value for Noida, Assam, Haridwar, all carry, Lucknow. This carries some values and that all put together become a 65 crore.
Okay, fine. So it's spread across all the locations then?
Yeah, it's all across.
It's across eight locations.
And each one is being fully utilized. It's not just a land parcel that may be disposed of or anything like that.
Each one is utilized.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As that was the last question for the day, I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for taking time out to join us on this call today. I hope we have adequately answered all your questions. If you still have more queries, please reach out to our investor relations team and we'll be happy to address those. Thank you once again.
Thank you. On behalf of Everready Industries India, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.